Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about South Korea launching their tax regulations. We're talking about Russia's Gazprom Bank testing blockchain technology in Switzerland. And we'll talk about whether the crypto bubble is comparable to the stocks bubble from 2000. Okay, let's jump right into this first news story. South Korean regulators to release crypto tax framework by June. Now, as you know, the G20 meeting was just recently, a couple of weeks ago. And since then, there was kind of an expectance that different countries would launch different types of regulations. And South Korea is actually one of the first that will come out and will say South Korea's Ministry of Strategy and Finance will reportedly release a taxation framework for cryptocurrency by the end of June. Now, why is this important? As you know, South Korea, one of the biggest markets when it comes to cryptocurrency, and obviously them valuing or putting these regulations in a more positive light will kind of give a different tone to the entire topic of regulations. It could very well be that it's quite negative and that it will just put more pressure on cryptocurrencies in general, and that will just not help with the prices right now. However, if it's generally positive and if it is kind of like expected, then it's not going to be too bad. Recently, actually, South Korea has announced that cryptocurrency exchanges will be taxed in line with the existing tax policy, a 22% corporate tax and a 2.2% local income tax. Now, in terms of exchanges, this makes a lot of sense because an exchange is a very classical business in that sense, in that regard. Now, how does it behave when you hold, when you trade, when you invest into cryptocurrencies? That is the big question. I think in general, South Korea won't make it too negative. I think it will still, because I mean, generally people are interested in trading cryptocurrencies, in holding cryptocurrencies. So if South Korea is realizing this potential to actually make money through taxes, then I think they should tax it in a more positive way, while at the same time obviously not making it entirely free. Next news story is Russia's Gazprom Bank to test cryptocurrency transactions in Switzerland. Now, Gazprom Bank is the third largest bank in Russia, and they are planning to conduct cryptocurrency transactions in Switzerland later this year as part of a pilot program through its Swiss subsidiary. Now, currently, any kind of exchange is illegal in Russia. So that is why, for example, Gazprom Bank and also the Sberbank, it's called, they have both subsidiaries in Switzerland. So they are technically allowed to do any kind of experimentation or a pilot project in Switzerland. And this is exactly what they're doing. The deputy chairman of the Gazprom Bank, Alexander Sobol, is actually saying, "This is a demand from our large private clients for such amenities. Therefore, we are now looking at how we can organize this service for them." In January 2018, Sberbank, Russia's largest bank, announced plans to open its own cryptocurrency exchange in Switzerland, as they are not allowed in Russia. Now, if you remember yesterday's episode, it was yesterday, when we talked about IBM's general approach to blockchain and how many countries and governmental organizations as well as big corporations are approaching IBM and asking them about specific blockchain technology and how they could potentially implement such an idea. This makes perfect sense. So this is exactly Russia, or Gazprom Bank in this case, is seeing the exact same demand. So generally, the blockchain technology is high in demand while the prices are still going down. And I don't think this is necessarily something bad, because we all know that the big promise and the big idea behind Bitcoin and all these things is the blockchain technology. So whether it will be Bitcoin or Ethereum or an entirely different currency or unit or token for that matter, the blockchain in general is just a concept that is very innovative and thought-provoking as well. So that's why these banks and more importantly these private clients are actually asking for this type of development. At the same time, Russia is actually making great efforts to kind of become they call a crypto powerhouse. So they are currently building a Russian mining center. They have invested $10 million US. He is at by this is done by Dmitry Marinichev, and he is President Putin's internet ombudsman, and he's generally overseeing this project of Russia getting into mining. And I think this is a smart move, considering that, for example, in China, mining is getting more and more problematic. The companies are actually looking for different ways to and different types of countries where they could actually do this. Now, Russia, with the huge country it is and with a lot of coal areas that it has, it technically could make this farm, cryptocurrency mining farm, kind of in a more colder area, similar to, for example, Iceland. Now, when they or if they can kind of get cheap electricity there into the like Siberian desert or anything, this could be a quite profitable endeavor. So I think it's a good way of Russia trying to make a pilot program with these different through these different banks, and at the same time, Russia, the government, actually building out a mining center. It will be really interesting. Also, the whole discussion about the crypto ruble is also going on. So a kind of a governmental cryptocurrency similar to Venezuela. I just hope that they will talk to the experts. They will talk to an Ethereum, to a Bitcoin, to Monero, to really understand how the technology works. And based on that, we'll build kind of a currency with them. Now, last story, and here it's more of a discussion in general. Is crypto space fated to become another dot-com bull? Now, as you know, as investors in the cryptocurrency space, we hear a lot about comparisons with the tulip craze. We hear a lot about comparisons with the dot-com bubble and all of these things. What is different this time? Now, in general, if you look at this hype cycle that happened towards the end of 2017, it was just how fast and how high it all has gotten. And this is basically because back then, when the kind of the dot-com bubble was going on, the access to these companies was kind of more restricted. So you weren't able to directly invest into these companies right away. They had to do kind of an IPO, and only then you could invest. But this was kind of a like in-between step. Right now, or how it was with crypto a couple of months ago, you could basically open up a Coinbase account or a Binance account and buy any kind of coin you want. So the kind of the effect was way, way, way stronger. And they are in this article, and I will link this article so you can have a look at it. They're arguing that while there are parallels, there are also kind of counter arguments as in why exactly it is not like that. They are mentioning, for example, zero to minimal logistics. And a lot of dot-com companies had to have huge logistics centers because it was mainly e-commerce. Think pets.com and all of these things. They're also saying smaller workforce. So while you had those logistics centers that had hundreds of people working for them, in crypto, you don't have that. In crypto, you have maybe 5-10 people, maybe 3 people, 4 people, and you have a garage, and then that's just where you work at. So the technology is completely digital, and the comfort with technology. Saying that the article is saying that mostly people who didn't really have a lot of ideas and thoughts about the technology and kind of the knowledge really to get started with these things were actually starting e-commerce startups and generally startups left and right. And now technically with blockchain, you can't really play this. So blockchain technology, you really have to understand, you have to build something on top of a platform. Now, obviously, if you're just doing an ICO without kind of the technology or the prototype behind it, this is kind of the different case. So in this case, it is very well possible that you can build or hype up a project without actually building anything. Nonetheless, I think cryptocurrency is here to stay. Blockchain is here to stay. Yes, the prices might go down. Maybe they go sideways. Maybe they go up again. Nobody really knows. But I think if you really focus on the interesting projects, on the innovative projects, on the projects that will bring value to people, to a lot of people, these are the projects, the companies, the organizations that will win big. Don't forget, in the dot-com bubble, a lot of companies died, but the dot-com bubble also kind of gave birth to Amazon, gave birth to Google, gave birth to Facebook afterwards, and so on. So you have all these, after the hype cycle, you have all these companies that in the meantime were building up value and are now at the top of the game. So it only, in quotes of course, only took them around 10 to 15 years to get to the top. So think with a longer perspective, long-term perspective and long-term investment horizon. Think about where you could be with your investment in 10, 15, 20 years. So because you're investing into the technology that will change the world in an ideal case, if you believe into the fundamentals and all of these things. So think with that in mind. This is kind of a Easter thought from me. With that, guys, I wish you happy Easter. Like this video, please. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget the Telegram channel. It's really, we're sharing a lot of interesting stuff there. It's on bit.ly/blue-alpine. There you can get an invite, and then you're in the free Telegram channel. And with that, guys, we're already at the end. So take care and see you tomorrow.